Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
Hello, this is Family of Faith, a podcast by Faith Bible for Faith Bible. My name is Paul Funchess, pastor of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church. And again, I am here at my casa, my home, with my wife, Christy.
Hello.
And we're here. Actually, right now, we're on the couch, and we are taping a podcast on the couch. I know that's really, really lazy of us, but that's what we're doing. And and so we started a conversation last week about homeschooling for all those families that kind of find themselves in new territory. They're homeschooling for the first time. Wasn't what they were anticipating this school year looking like, but what really has been what we've been anticipating, you know, what has been normal.
So yeah. No anticipation anymore.
Anticipate something strange. Yes. Really. but you're homeschooling, and we started that conversation last week. We wanted to continue that conversation. And I know you have a couple more practical thoughts for families that are homeschooling. And so let's go ahead and jump into that, and you can continue through your list.
Sounds good. I don't know what number we're on, but I like numbers. So six, maybe number six. Look out for opportunities in your neighborhood. This will help with just your kids if they are really missing friends, missing socialization. Chances are you already have relationships in your neighborhood. This has been really a beautiful time if people are comfortable to have time playing with friends or visiting older neighbors. All of those things, but that is one of the beauties of homeschooling, is being in your neighborhood and having opportunities to reach out and make friendships and really to have time to get to know the people that live around you. And that definitely enriches your kids as they are home all day. They don't necessarily have to be home with you 24 hours, if that makes sense.
So let me ask you this question on that. And I don't want to get off too much, but so we've been at this lockdown COVID situation, and, you know, and people have treated that differently depending on what family they are. What if your kid's been in their room for like 6 months and now they're going to have to go to school, and they don't get to go to school. They don't get to go be with their friends. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in their room. Mm-hmm. They're going to be at the house. And you're not in a neighborhood where it's conducive to, you know, you don't have a street like we have out in front of our front yard where we have kids come over and play, and there's bike rides. It's constantly, not, it's just not feasible or not as accessible. Mm-hmm. And so they're the kids in the room or in their house, and they've been in the house for 6 months. So what do we say to those people?
That is really difficult. So I think you have to find the balance of being really loving and gracious and understanding. Even ask your kid how they feel about it. What are you thinking? And just listening and understanding. And then again, they need to see it modeled in you that we still have hope, and that even if we don't see this as good, it is good. It's going to be good. Practically, maybe you need to invite friends over, or you need to say, hey, can we meet? Can we come over to your house, or can we meet at the park? Thankfully, the parks, the trails, all of those things are open. And I mean, it's not unusual to say, okay, kids, you know, pack up your backpacks. We're going to go do school outside at a park.
That's what I was kind of thinking. Even if you can't necessarily be around other, but you can at least be outside, take your school outside.
Yep. Even if it's online, you can take it out on the back porch, maybe.
Just, get out.
And,
it is going to get cold soon. So that has a limit.
So take advantage of it. Yeah. While you can.
I just feel for families.
Absolutely.
I think there are some families who, you know, they've been inside for a long time. And they're not as mobile as other families.
Absolutely.
You know, some families, when it becomes summer, they just go.
Right. Yeah.
But that's not all the families, you know, work sometimes limits that, and people's situations are different. So, So,
yeah. That's funny. The next one is actually ask for help.
Yeah.
You're not in this alone, and there are people that you might think of first to ask for help. And then just being open about it. If you need something, you can talk to your friends. Again, talk to older, wiser people at church. And if you're having trouble with a particular issue or a particular subject, you know, just because you're homeschooling doesn't mean you are the be-all, end-all teacher. Very much, it's wise to get other people involved, whether that looks like formal tutoring or whether it just means, hey, I know this person really has a passion for writing. Why don't I, you know, see if they want to come over, or, you know, if they'll look at my kid's report. And I think that especially older people, actually a large demographic of different people, would be more than happy to pitch in. And I think honestly, as a church, that is something for us to bear together, to understand that a lot of people are in a difficult boat. So yeah, never be afraid to ask for help or to admit that you're struggling, and the help is there.
Yeah. And I think this is a unique time for the church to step up and be bearing with one another through very unique and unusual times. But this really should be what we do all the time. So, so with childcare, with schooling and education, like we said earlier, as a parent, you are the best educator of your children. You are the one who makes the best educational choices for your kids. You know, if all things are equal, if all things are as they should be, but that means a lot of times inviting other people into your life, you know, and people around you in your church especially have so much to offer, and many would be able and willing and available to help.
Yeah.
I'm free to do Bible lessons anytime. So, you can ask me, I'll come over and teach
you. Oh man, you would in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would.
That'd be a great day for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last ones are, practically as much as possible, keep your space neat, sort of have a designated space where your books and your school things or your technology, all that stuff is. Again, it will get messy. It will not get put away, but try to return to that routine, to those good habits. You know, at the end of the day, the kids need to put away what they've been using so that it's neat, so that school isn't lasting all 24 hours of the day. That can be really helpful for both parties involved. This is a fun one. If siblings are present, so if you have multiple kids in this situation, it can be really fun and beneficial to let them help each other. I think there's a lot to be said for multi-level learning. So if your older kids are helping your younger kids, that's just really great review for them. If your younger kids are listening in on you teaching the older kids, or even if they get to listen into another teacher, teaching your older kids, that can be a really fun sneak peek preview for them. So just be aware that that can be really helpful, to have your kids almost working together and then even conversing with each other about what they're learning. And that's something you can ask at the dinner table, you know, what is something that everyone learned today?
Yeah, it's good.
Yep. I think that is the end of the practical list.
Okay. And then there's probably other practical things, but that was the list that you came up with.
Yep. That was my list. I think we were going to say that academic learning is super important. There's definitely things your kids need to know, whether it's math facts or parts of speech. I mean, so you don't want to go too far into the like, oh, well, they're learning all the time, regardless of what they do. So, you know, I'm just kind of making a case for it is okay to require them to learn certain things. But the other aspect to that is there is much more to learning and education than just book learning. So in another sense, your kids are always learning.
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier. Exactly. You're always teaching your kids. Exactly. Whether you know that or not, you mm-hmm. are teaching your kids.
Yes.
Your life is teaching them mm-hmm. So much more than math and English. And I mean, and so you and I both really love education.
Mm-hmm.
I love English. Mm-hmm. I love history. Mm-hmm. I love literature. I mean, and mm-hmm. you do too. We're kind of like that.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not unusual for me to give a grammar lesson at breakfast.
Right. Yes.
It's not unusual for you to talk about music and things. I mean,
right.
So we're definitely those types of people.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody, you know, not everybody is. Mm-hmm. I love grammar. I love English and things that we can teach our kids that way. But, in the Bible, the same,
mm-hmm.
you know, it is very natural for us to just begin talking about mm-hmm. scripture
mm-hmm.
and the Bible, as we eat or mm-hmm. as we play,
yeah,
or as we talk,
listen to a song. Hey, did you hear what they were talking about or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And that's, you know, we did that this afternoon. We sat, I don't even remember why, but we were kind of all just in the living room
yeah.
and listening to music
mm-hmm.
and, talking about some Psalms and mm-hmm. It was just really, it's just yeah. kind of the culture mm-hmm. of, you know, what we were doing. So
loving to learn. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Loving to learn. So that's what you were talking about. There is need for actually teaching math and
right.
all those things,
yeah.
but the education goes so much farther than that. What
right.
you were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even things typically thought of as book learning can be accomplished in all of life, whether you're yeah. doing house projects, which requires solving science and math problems, or baking,
mm-hmm.
or playing games, like if you're playing Monopoly or Ticket to Ride, you're doing
yeah.
math.
Yeah,
and
sometimes.
Don't maybe
yeah. sometimes realizing how terrible your kids are at math. It's like, wow, okay, who is teaching
but
you math?
But maybe letting them figure it out themselves,
yeah.
you know? So, yeah.
yeah. You know, and I just had that thought as we were talking about academic learning piece, you know, it's hard because there's a lot of friction and tension with school
mm.
and parents mm-hmm. and kids,
mm-hmm.
Homework, mm. learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen this where parents and kids, middle school kids, teenage kids, and even younger sometimes, where it's just like war
mm-hmm.
over education, over math, mm-hmm. over English. And, you know, there's a lot going on in both individuals' hearts when a math problem causes war.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a math problem on the face of the earth that merits
mm.
You sinning against your child.
Mm.
And I could say that to me, myself. I mean, it's just amazing how we allow such insignificant things to cause us to sin.
Mm-hmm.
But that points to idols, false idols in our hearts and wrong thinking about God and about ourselves and about our children. Again, there's never a math problem that merits mm-hmm. you sinning against your child, and on your child's part, there's mm-hmm. there's not a math problem that merits their sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they have sin issue. Some of it may be learning disability. Some of it may be academic struggle. Some of it may be of you know, just difficulty learning.
Mm-hmm.
But there is sin involved. And so you have an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
This is such an opportunity. Don't waste this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You have an opportunity to be a lover of Christ in front of your children and to teach them. And if that means that the math problem doesn't get done and you just sit down and have a heart-to-heart conversation about your heart and their heart without the yelling and without the, you're going to do this or, you know, lay the math aside and just talk to your son or your daughter as a person. Understand what your mission really is. I think going back to what you were just talking about, our mission isn't that they learn math, right? We want them to learn math. That's a good thing to do and right to do. And God has constructed the world to work in a way that,
you know, we want to learn.
Math is a wonderful opportunity to teach a worldview, a Christian worldview. However, the mission is to display God and his person, the person of Christ, to your kids, and to love them, and to show your love for them and for God. So, anyway, other heart issues. We were talking a little bit about how education cannot be, we want to let go of that false God, that false idol. Education cannot rule our hearts. It's a bad God. It's not worthy of our worship.
Right.
It can't satisfy us. It promises and it never delivers. And so education, I think for some of our families, is too important or is a God in and of itself. So I don't know if you have anything that you would add to that.
Yeah, I think that if we're over anxious about it, then
about the education part of it,
that would point to it, you know, or just overly upset that maybe we have to deal with it, or worried that your child is going to fall behind or maybe not have what you feel like they should have. That really needs to cause you to think about what you're hoping in and to remember what is true, to remember that you can trust God. He is the author and the finisher. And, yeah, ultimately you can't form anything, by your efforts or by what you feel might be your lack of qualification. So yeah, just to keep a close eye on those emotions that can come out.
You also had some other thoughts, I think.
Just thinking in all of life, but especially with education right now, trusting in God's sovereignty. God is completely sovereign over the education of our children in all of life, with their spiritual and physical and mental and emotional development. And we can totally trust him. And you can definitely look throughout history that he has cared for and given always what has been needed. And that's definitely going to be true for us. So I think that that needs to be a bedrock belief that we act out of.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying earlier, in that God loves us and cares for us so deeply, he gives us what we do not want, or he gives us what we would never ask for. God knows what we need. And so God, we needed COVID-19.
We did.
I mean, just get your mind around that for a second. Like, this is what we needed. He gave us what we needed. It's not what we wanted. But, and that's with parenting. You know, a good parent gives their children what they need, not necessarily what they want. You know, I was having this conversation with another person recently. Just God has designed us to want happiness. And at the same time, God wants our happiness. But here's the key to that. Our happiness is found in him. And in his glory, in exalting him and being satisfied in him. This is what John Piper talks about. So we want to be happy. We want our life to, you know, be satisfying. And that's actually God-given. And God, more than even we want it, God wants us to be satisfied and happy. But the key is that it has to be in him. And so we're not satisfied and we're not happy because we try to find our satisfaction and happiness in the creation that he's made. Education's part of that, or family life is part of that, or work and vocation and job is part. We look to these things to give us satisfaction and happiness, and they just can't. They just can't. Only God can. And so we want to find our happiness in him. He wants us to be satisfied. He wants us to be happy, and he gives us what we need. And that's back to the parenting analogy. We want our children to do well, and we know what they need, and it's often not what they want. And so we want to be operating out of a goodness and a desire for their good that reflects God. And we're imperfect in that, but God is God is perfect. I was reading this Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's actually the most quoted verse. It starts in Exodus 34, but it's really, really a key verse in the Old Testament. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And then listen to this. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Just reflect on that. Psalm 145. So I would encourage parents, if you're really discouraged by this and really struggling at your heart level, with anger, frustration, distrust, you're talking about trusting God's sovereignty, trusting God's good sovereignty, his goodness, go to Psalm 145, reflect upon what that psalm says. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, even in COVID-19, even in having to educate your kids at home. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. What a powerful truth that would be good for us to reflect upon and meditate on as we're facing this season of real unexpected requirement.
Unrest, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and to ask for faith to believe that even when we don't feel it,
even when
I can't see how this is true, but I believe there are things that are true that, you know, I can't see everything.
Well, that about does it for this topic. I think there's a lot of other things, obviously, we can talk about with this topic, and we want to hear from you. If you have more questions, or if you have things, and I'm expecting that there are questions that you have we didn't answer, but and that's not the goal, is to answer all the questions that there are, but we just wanted to offer our perspective and some advice and some practical as well as heart issue or heart level help. And so if you have questions, specific questions, let us know that. Contact me, contact the church office, get that to me. I would love to be a help to you. I would love, you know, we've joked about this before, but I would love to come to your house and walk through any questions you might have about homeschooling or anything else pertaining to family. And we'd love to visit with you. So let me know if you have any other particular questions or how we can help you in that way. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. I would just say again, you know, look to Jesus, endure with joy. We know that homeschooling is a test. It is a constant test, and the Lord has promised to give us grace through these tests that he puts on our lives. And we know that he's ordering all of these things for our good, which means he's bringing us into conformity to his son. And that's what he's using this season for. And I know it's going to be difficult in a lot of ways, but be encouraged. The Lord is at work. He's going to give you grace. You can and you will endure. You'll get through it, push through it. And I just challenge you to do that with joy and with hope and, you know, understanding that the Lord has a real work in your life through this, and be excited about that. And enjoy this time with your kids. Enjoy the time that you have with your kids, and don't view it as a drudgery. But anyway, I'm starting to get back into talking there. So all I wanted to do is say thank you for joining with us and listening with us. And we will be back next week with another topic.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org for more resources, articles, and information about our ministries.